let's bow for a word of prayer. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes. And would you be willing to pray this to the Lord? Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that silently from your heart to the Lord in prayer? Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message today exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit, so he's controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. All of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever, I got a question for you. Have you ever got a phone call and when you say hello, they say something like, may I please speak to Elmo or something like that? And you respond with something like, I'm sorry, but I believe you have the wrong number. Maybe the wrong person, perhaps. Or have you ever been somewhere and someone comes up to you and thinks you're someone else? And they say, oh, well, how you doing, Fred? And you're like, I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong person. Now, it happens every once in a while. You respond something like this, no, I'm sorry, I'm not Fred Snodgrass, but I believe you've got the wrong person. Can I share with you today, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that there is no mistaken identity with him? Amen. Jesus, our Savior, listen close. Jesus, our Savior, is exactly the right Savior. Exactly the right Savior. This morning we're looking at Savior. We have exactly the right Savior. In the way of review, we've looked in this sermon series. Sermon number one was time. At exactly the right time, Jesus was born. We looked at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, and I'll just read that to you. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, what's that saying? At exactly the right time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The second sermon in this sermon series was location. At exactly the right place, Jesus was born. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So Jesus was born at exactly the right location. Even according to what the angels told the shepherds, in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Specifically, it says, in a manger. So Jesus was born at exactly the right time, at exactly the right location. The last sermon that we looked at, sermon 3 in the series, people, with exactly the right people, Jesus was born. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, I'll read it to you. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus was born with exactly the right people. Mary being a virgin, and she was one that was rightly related to God, and she's one that was obedient. Joseph, he was a godly, just, righteous, and obedient to God type of man. Exactly the people in the story that God wanted and had ordained from eternity past, that Mary would be the mother of Jesus, that Joseph would be the stepdad of Jesus, And those shepherds that are part of the story, exactly the people that the angels were to give that first message to, that the Messiah is born. And I'm thankful that those shepherds, being the exact people that they were supposed to be at the right time, were humble, they were flexible, they were urgent, they were excited, they were glorifying and praising God, and they were willing witnesses about Jesus' birth. This morning again, Sermon 4, Savior, we have exactly the right Savior. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. If you don't have your Bible, or if it's more convenient, you can look up at the screen if you like, but in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, Roman numeral number 1 today, under Savior, we have exactly the right Savior. Number 1, our Savior is the Son of God. Our Savior is the Son of God. Notice what the angel Gabriel said to Mary, that is, in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. It says, "He shall be great." The angel talking to Mary, angel Gabriel. "He shall be great and shall be called," what? "The Son of the Highest." Say that with me. "The Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign," that is, "over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Also in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, I read that to you earlier, but notice what it says. "But when the fullness of time was come," notice it says, "God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And what about John 3:16? Y'all familiar with that? I think that'd be a good verse for us to say together today, don't you think? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, who did the sending? God, right? And who did he send? His only begotten Son. Now, I'm thankful that, number one, our Savior is the Son of God. You see, there's no mistaking that from the Word of God. There's many, many, many verses in Scripture that tell us when Jesus came to this earth to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, he came as the Son of God. You know, most people say that I look an awful lot like my dad looked. The older I get, I figure y'all'd say I look probably more like my dad. And when I've lost some weight, I even look more like my dad. No mistake in it. They'd say, you know what, he's the son of Robert L. DeLay, Robert Lee DeLay. And you can hardly mistake it. When you look at Jesus, you cannot mistake the truth that he truly is the Son of God. Savior. We have exactly the right Savior. First of all, our Savior is the Son of God. Secondly, our Savior is God himself. Our Savior is God himself. Do you know that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, if you want to turn there, you're welcome to turn there. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the angel, which could have been Gabriel, he's not named in the account where the angel appears to Matthew, but we can kind of assume that it very well might have been Gabriel. But when the angel talks to Joseph, notice what he says to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." If you're looking at this passage, it's saying that Jesus is God himself. So not only is Jesus our Savior, the Son of God, he is God himself. You say, "Preacher, you're confusing me a little bit." Well, just listen, okay? We believe the Bible teaches very clearly about the Trinity. It's called the Trinity. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. Now, they have distinct roles, but they are one God, and they are all God. So Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, is God himself. Notice also in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the Gospel of John and verse 1, notice what it says. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now the Word, clearly in Scripture, is Jesus himself. This is the Word written, but Jesus is referred to as the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And notice this part. Say it with me. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. Savior. We have exactly the right Savior. First of all, our Savior is the Son of God. Secondly, our Savior is God himself. You know what really, really is amazing to me? That God would come to this earth. Take on human flesh. Now, if he was in some place that was a horrible place and, you know, it was terrible and he decided to come to that, you kind of say, well, okay, I kind of get it. But he was not. You see, God and the Son of God were in heaven. All the glories of heaven and no problem. But he chose to come to this earth and take on human flesh and be God with us. That, to me, is like mind-blowing. It's mind-boggling. It's amazing to me. I mean, it's kind of like taking the best vacation ever. How many of you have ever been to Hawaii? Hawaii. How many of you would like to go to Hawaii about now? Okay. All right. I'd like to go to Hawaii. It'd be all right. But, you know, it's like saying, okay, you know what? I'm sending you to Hawaii, and you have everything paid for. You don't have to work. You can buy anything you want there. I mean, any souvenirs, clothes, whatever you need, surfboard, whatever you need, and the accommodations are going to be five-star accommodations, and you can eat all the meals and all the food. This part would especially interest me. You can eat all the food that you want, and it's all taken care of. Everything is great, and you can stay as long as you want to. Now, some of you would want to stay there for a very long time, right? And we might have, hey, Mom, are you coming back? Are you coming back home? No, I'm staying in Hawaii. Now, just think about that. It's so good that you don't want to go back to what life might be here. Think about God. Think about the Son of God being in heaven. Everything good. There's no such thing as a bad day. There's nobody criticizing you. There's no one trying to trip you up with questions. There's no one saying you're a phony. And they did all that to Jesus, and he gave up the glories of heaven to come to this earth. Wow. Man, that ought to make us so grateful in our heart. I'm thankful that he came to make a way for me to go to heaven. You see, Savior. We have exactly the right Savior. Number one, our Savior is the Son of God. Number two, our Savior is God himself. Number three, are you ready for this? You sure you're ready? If you're ready, say ready. Number three, our Savior is awesome. Our Savior is awesome. In Isaiah chapter 9, I want you to look at these verses. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I want you to pay attention to how in the Old Testament it is prophesied what Jesus is going to be. And they describe our Savior as an awesome Savior. Now listen to what it says. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. In this prophecy, some 700 years before Jesus came to this earth. Notice, it says, "For unto us a child is born." Isn't that interesting? It was prophesied that a child would be born. Do you know Jesus did not have to come as a vulnerable baby? Our Jesus could have come triumphant in the clouds as an adult if he wanted to, right? He could have come any way he chose, any way he wanted, But it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He is ultimate ruler. And it says here, and his name shall be called. You know, names had a lot more significance back in Bible times. I mean, really, when you're talking about somebody's name, you're talking about who they are on the inside. It's talking about who they are by nature. You know, today we just have names, there's old so-and-so. That may not mean a whole lot, right? But in the Bible, it meant a whole lot. It's saying, basically, this is who this Savior is going to be. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And guess what? Jesus will someday sit upon the throne of David during the 1,000-year reign and then throughout all eternity. But you know what? As I look at this passage of Scripture, it tells me that I have an awesome Savior. It says, first of all, that he is wonderful. He is wonderful. You know, in Psalm 107, I'm not have you turn there, but four times in four different verses, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, it says, praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So we know that he does wonderful works. Would y'all agree with that? I mean, you've seen him work in your heart and life, right? And if you trusted Jesus, you've seen what he can do with an old rotten sinner. He can save us and forgive us and wash that sin and that shame and that guilt away. And we can go outside and look at the mountains and say, boy, look at all the things that God has done. I'm a mountain kind of guy. I love the mountains, don't y'all? We can look at the rivers, we can look at the trees and say, boy, God has done wonderful things. But can I tell you, the demonstration of the wonderfulness of God comes from who he is. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior by his very nature. He does wonderful, but guess what? His name is wonderful. It's his very nature. You know, we throw that word around a lot of times, you know, wonderful. Well, I had a wonderful day. I had a wonderful trip. We might even say, as we leave church, that was a wonderful service. But can I tell you, what really is wonderful is our Savior. Do you know there's not one fault in Jesus? You know, even in heaven, where he is abode from eternity past and will to eternity future, he's never sinned one time. In his dealings with us, he's never unjust. He's never sinful. In his 33 years of life on this earth, he was sinless. Man, that's wonderful, don't you think? If you think about it, if he'd have sinned one time on this earth, you remember the old devil when the devil came and tempted him? If he'd have sinned one time on this earth, when he died upon the cross, he would have been dying for his sin. But since he had zero sins, no sin, when he died upon the cross, he paid for the sins of the whole world. I'm thankful for that. Our Savior is awesome. Our Savior is wonderful. Secondly, our Savior, it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. The next word is Counselor. Counselor. You say, what's a counselor? It's one who listens and gives advice and direction. A counselor is one who listens and gives advice and direction. Can I tell you that our Savior gives us perfect direction? You know, the problem when it comes to us living our lives, the problem is not with God. He's the perfect counselor. And through His Holy Spirit, He'll tell us what to do. Through His Word, He'll tell us what He wants us to do. But guess where the problem comes in? Right here. Right in us. Right in our heart. Sometimes we think, you know what? I know what You're telling me to do, God. I know what Your counsel is on this. I know what's sin. I know what's right. I know what You want me to do. But guess what? I'm not going to say this, but in my heart I'm thinking this. I must be smarter than God, because I'm not going to follow the counsel of God. But can I tell you that Jesus' counselor, as counselor, His counsel is perfect. Just like He is always wonderful, He is always right. I mean, I'm thankful. I mean, can you imagine having a wishy-washy type of Savior? You say, well, it kind of depends on what day of the week. He might be in a good mood, He might be in a bad mood. He might be in a sinful mood, He might be in a good mood as far as doing right. I'm thankful that my Savior is a perfect counselor. It's up to me to get in tune with Him. It's up to me to know what His Word says. It's up to me to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's up to me to do what God wants me to do. And I'm thankful that I have the kind of Savior that I can trust. Our Savior is an awesome Savior. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. Notice what else it says. The Mighty God. He is the Mighty God. You know, I'm so thankful that our Jesus, our Savior, that came to be born in Bethlehem, born in a stable, placed in a manger. I'm thankful that the Bible tells us He is the Mighty God. You know, our Savior, when He came to this earth, during His ministry, He did a lot of amazing things. I mean, He helped people that couldn't hear to hear, that couldn't speak to speak. He helped people that had demons inside of them. He cast out the demons, right? He made those that couldn't walk to get up and walk. And He didn't have to say, okay, I'm going to conjure this up. Let's get all psyched up. Hey, disciples, can y'all give me a back rub? You know, just tell me I can do it. You know, tell me I can do it. Whisper in my ear, pinch my ear a little bit so I can get all pumped up. I mean, God, in the form of Jesus that came to this earth, is Almighty God. He has power. And His power is not diminished. So while He was on, I'd love to have seen His ministry, wouldn't you? But guess what? He's just as powerful today. He is Mighty God. He can do whatever He wants to do. And whenever we say, I know what You want me to do, but we're saying You're not almighty. You're not all powerful. You can't do it. You know, sometimes really when we get discouraged and down and in the dumps and all blah, guess what? We're almost telling God, God, You can't handle this. Savior, You're not a big enough Savior. You're not a mighty God. You can't take care of this. But I'm thankful that my Savior is almighty. And you say, what about that little baby? He was pretty vulnerable, wasn't he? You see, when Jesus came to this earth, He chose to limit His power, if you will. That did not make Him powerless. Now, as a baby, I don't see Him, you know, kind of doing this or that or healing the calf or healing the donkey. I don't see that happening. He chose as a human to limit some of that power. But as He got into His ministry, He started healing people. And He has all the power of all the world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He can do whatever He wants to do. And I'm thankful that my Savior is Almighty God. He's awesome. Did I say that before? Our God is awesome. Our Savior is awesome. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. Kind of goes back to saying that Jesus is God Himself. I have no problem with interchanging that, the Everlasting Father. Him and God the Father are one, right? As part of the Trinity. And it says, this is good news. Are you ready? This Savior that's awesome is not only wonderful and the Counselor and the Mighty God, He is also the Everlasting Father. I mean, you know, a lot of times we get things in life and they're great, really, for a while. You know, you get the latest and greatest as seen on television. You know, this thing will do anything you want it to do. It's a handy-dandy do-all things. And you get it, and it works for about a week, and then it breaks. And you say, well, it was handy-dandy. It was pretty awesome, but now look at what it... This tells me that our Savior is an everlasting Savior. He's everlasting. Did you hear that? Everlasting. It won't disappoint you as seen on TV will. It won't disappoint you as people sometimes will. Our God, our Savior, is everlasting. I mean, just think about it. What if He got old? Now, nobody here is getting old, are you? Now, some of you got up today and you had more aches and pains than you've felt in a long time. You're like, I don't know. Can I tell you that our Savior does not wake up with all those pains? Because He is an everlasting God. He is everlasting. He is the everlasting Father. He will not get weak. He will not die. He will not disappear. That's big. I mean, what if you went to heaven and had the first 10 years was wonderful? You know, we don't really keep time up there, but let's just say for purposes of argument, we'd say the first 10 years, everything is great. But then God dies. Our Savior dies. I mean, just completely gone. No, I'm thankful that we have an awesome Savior, and He is everlasting. Not only is our awesome Savior wonderful and the Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, and also He is the Prince of Peace. Do you realize that our Savior is the Author of Peace? Author of Peace. Do you understand that the only way to get real, lasting, eternal peace in your life is through the Savior Jesus? The one who was born in Bethlehem in a stable and placed in a manger? It's only through Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace, the Author of Peace. The world only gives a lot of times unrest, maybe temporary pleasure, and maybe temporary peace, just for a skinny minute. But then it fades away. No real lasting peace is found outside of Jesus, our Savior. You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. In His upper room discourse, He gives a couple verses from His very mouth about peace, as He talks to His disciples just before He dies on the cross. Notice, He says, peace I leave with you. Jesus speaking. This same baby that was born in Bethlehem is now an adult, about ready to go to the cross. And He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Notice, not as the world gives or giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the peace that God gives us, the peace that knowing Jesus as our Savior gives us, is an eternal peace. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. You know, we look at the world scene and say, boy, it's a mess. And you're right. It's a mess. Our country, it's a mess, as far as spiritually speaking. But because Jesus came as my Savior and is the Prince of Peace, and since I have trusted Him as my Savior, I have everlasting peace. On the inside, I have that calmness and that encouragement, and that's the only place to get it is through Jesus. If you don't have it, I'd highly recommend you find it in Jesus. Either be saved or get right with the Lord today. The other verse is in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Aren't you thankful for verses like that? It says, the world may look bad and you may have all kind of tribulation, but in me you have peace. I'm thankful for that. Our Savior is awesome. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Savior. We have exactly the right Savior. Our Savior is the Son of God. Our Savior is God Himself. Our Savior is awesome. And lastly, number four. Are you ready for this? Our Savior saves. Think about that. Our Savior saves. Do you know the angel's message to both Mary and Joseph told them to name their son Jesus? Remember that? You know what Jesus means? The Lord is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. So, our Savior saves. But to Joseph in particular, the angel adds this in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Notice what the angel adds in Matthew 1, 21 after he says, you know, you're going to call him Jesus. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means, I'm sure they caught that, the Lord saves. But notice this, what it says in Scripture, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. Wow. Our Savior saves. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus, in his own words, again, as an adult in his ministry, you know, Jesus ministered from age 30 to 33, 3 years of public ministry. Public ministry. Notice what he says from his own lips. Notice what he says. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm thankful that our Savior saves. You know, because of Jesus' death on the cross, then his resurrection, conquering death. Because of that, we can be saved. You say, preacher, what are you saved from? Well, can I tell you quite simply? You are saved from your sin. You are saved from death. And you are saved from hell. Man, that's enough to almost make a Presbyterian shout. You know, Presbyterians are known to be kind of reserved. So, you know, hopefully we're not that reserved. We'd almost be ready to shout on that one. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and victory over that death, because he chose to come to this earth as his Father sent him, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, in a stable, placed in a manger, live a perfect life, die upon the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world and then resurrect back to life. Because that Savior saves, I can be saved from my sin. You know, if I go through this world, and everybody listen real close. If you go through this world and do nothing with the sin that you have in your life, if you do nothing with the sin in your life, the Bible very clearly tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All! So when you're looking in the mirror, you're looking at a sinner. And if you choose not to do anything with those sins, you just go on through life, that's all right, I'm as good as that one, and I do a few good things, everything. If you choose to do nothing about that, can I tell you, your sin will make you die. And when you die in this world and leave this world, you'll spend forever in a place called hell, a place of torment separated from God. But the good news is you don't have to do that, because Jesus, our Savior, saves. I'm thankful that when I was 11 years old in Hopewell Baptist Church, I came forward and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I got saved. I got saved from my sin. Do I still sin? Yep. But all my sins are forgiven. It's not an excuse to sin. It causes problems, makes problems in my life when I still sin, but I still sin. I'm a sinner. I still have a sin nature, and I'll still sin, hopefully get better at less and less sinning as the older I get and the more mature I get, but I'll still be a sinner until I get to heaven. But all those sins are forgiven. You see, that Jesus, that Savior, saved me from my sin. Saved me from death. I'm not going to die. As I've told you before, if you come to my funeral, I want you to wail and moan and groan and tell everybody how upset you are that I finally passed. But I'm still voting for the rapture. How many of you vote for the rapture? I just don't go up and rapture. But if I do die, don't you go by there and say, look at that dead preacher, because I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I'm simply more alive than I've ever been before in the presence of Jesus. It's because my Savior saves. Save me from my sin. Save me from death. And save me from hell. Man, things are only going to get better, not worse. I know life can be discouraging. I know that. I know that we hit a lot of speed bumps. Sometimes they're more like walls we hit, right? I understand that. I get that. But boy, my future's bright because my Savior saves. So two things I want you to take from this. I'm going to repeat the points of the message today, and two things I want to say about in way of invitation. Today we looked at Savior. We have exactly the right Savior. Number one, our Savior is the Son of God. Number two, our Savior is God Himself. Number three, our Savior is awesome. There's nothing to compare to Jesus. And number four, we just looked at, our Savior saves. Our Savior saves. Two things I want to mention. If you're here today and you say, you know what, preacher, I'm saved. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I hope that inside of you, if you're breathing, go, check this out, okay? Put your right hand in front of your mouth. Breathe. Is there at least something akin to warm air coming out? So you're probably living, okay? So if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and you're living, I hope that the rest of the day, at least, Christmas Eve, and all day tomorrow, at least, preferably every day, but at least Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, in your heart, if you don't have a smile, I hope that you have a smile on your face. Everybody thinks you're up to something. And if they say, well, I can see someone saying to John, John, what are you up to? And John can say, you know, I'm not up to anything. I'm just rejoicing that my Savior is exactly the right Savior. And He saved me. So if you don't get the present that you thought you ought to get, some of the family couldn't make it. They thought they could, but they can't make it. The meal might be just a little bit on the overcooked side. Or you might put too much this into this recipe and it didn't quite taste right. Regardless, if you're a child of God, Jesus has saved you. I hope that you rejoice. I hope that you just have the greatest, most wonderful, most blessed Christmas ever. And in the possibility, as a child of God, that you're not living your best for Jesus. I hope that over the rest of today and tomorrow, you think about that, you ponder that. Or maybe even today, make a decision. You know what? I'm going after Jesus 100%. I'm going to serve my Savior better than I ever have. Because look at all that He's done for me. The second thing I want you to think about, if you're here today, and if I looked you straight in the eye and I said to you, If you died today, which would be a real bummer because it's Christmas Eve, but if you died today, would you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? If you in your heart and in your mind would have to either think or say to me, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Can I encourage you today that since our Savior saves and the doors of salvation are still open, we don't know when that last person will be saved. Seriously. And then the Lord will come back in the clouds and take us home. We don't know when the last invitation might be given. But if you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm really not sure I'm saved. Or you might be so convinced, I know that I'm not saved. Can I tell you that today is the day to settle that? I don't know of any nicer bunch of folks that are gathered today to come and trust Jesus before. Now, it's not about them, but it's about you and God. But this is the perfect place to do it. This is the perfect time to do it. You have no promise. You may not even be in this world in the next hour. I'm not trying to scare you. You know I'm not a drama king. I don't play on your emotions, but that's the truth of the matter. So if you're here today, Jesus, as our Savior, saves. But you need to come to Him. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and verse 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today, can I give you the recipe for the best Christmas ever for you? If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, or if you're here today and you say, I know that I'm not saved, we're going to sing a song here in just a little bit. Ironically, Jesus Saves is the name of the song we're going to sing. And as we do, Christian, if God is speaking to your heart, the altar is open. If you just want to come up here and say, thank you, Jesus. If you want to come up here and say, God, help me to be all that you want me to be. Whatever. But if you're here and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus, you're unsaved today, I'm going to be down front somewhere. I'd encourage you. Come down front. Get my hand and say, preacher, I want to be saved. If I have to take time to show you, praise the Lord. If Ryan wants to take time and show you, praise the Lord. If someone else here wants to take time and show you, praise the Lord. But take that step of faith and come down and say, I want to be saved. And before you leave this building, you can know it. Not just here. You can know that Jesus saves. And you can be saved from your sin. You can be saved from death. And you can be saved from hell, and He'll give you more peace and purpose and joy in your life, and your future will be delightful. If you would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Is God dealing with your heart today? Either as a saved individual or someone who is unsaved, is God dealing with your heart today? As we sing here in just a moment, is it going to be same old? You know, well, preacher, I've heard this invitation. I'm a Christian. I know I'm not right with the Lord, but I'm not going to get right with the Lord. I'm not going to ask Him to forgive me. I'm not going to ask Him to help me live the life that I'm supposed to. I'm not going to do that. Well, you're saying no to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're saying no to the God of the universe. Are you going to do that again? I'd encourage you, as we sing, would you come to the altar? And if you're here today and you say, I'm either not sure I'm saved or I know that I'm lost, unsaved. You may have heard this before, but are you going to respond today? Are you going to be saved? As we sing here in just a moment, will you come down and get my attention and say, preacher, I want to be saved? Would you do that? Would you do that? Can I tell you? You'll never, ever, ever regret it. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much you sent your son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the perfect, exactly the Savior that we need. Speak to hearts. Lord, help us to listen and obey what you'd have us to do as we sing this song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.